My guest at this time is Bing West. He's a former Assistant Secretary of Defense, a Vietnam veteran, and a prolific author and frequent embed with U.S. forces in the War on Terror. His most recent book is The Wrong War, Grit Strategy, and The Way Out of Afghanistan. His new book is due out next month, 1 Million Steps, A Marine Platoon at War. We want to get his reaction today to the killing of U.S. Army Major General Harold Green by an Afghan soldier yesterday, and what it tells us about the ongoing security challenges in that country, as well as the long-term exit strategy of the United States. And, Bing, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
We saw, I guess it was a couple of years ago now, a lot more of these incidents, the so-called green-on-blue attacks of these military recruits from the Afghan turning their weapons on their trainers. Fortunately, that seems to have gotten better, but obviously not completely solved since it happened again yesterday. Tell us a little bit about what you know, how these training programs are organized and how they lend themselves to this type of tragedy.
Well, the training is standard training that you'd see anywhere in the world. This happens to be what the British are doing, and we were there to our Army general was there to witness it. But the training itself is very standard. The problem in Afghanistan goes to the heart of the conflict that, unfortunately, the administration will not admit. This is a religious-based conflict. This is terrorism by dedicated Islamists who have committed to a jihad against the West and against all their enemies, and they believe it ferociously. And it is at the soul of their being. Now, I've been out with an awful lot of Afghans on different patrols for over the past 10 years. And many, we have some really great undercover people out there, too. That is, they're Afghans, but they're Afghan-Americans, and they're over there for a while. And I've spoken with a lot of them, and I've said, look, can you tell a Taliban, can you tell a genuine Islamist who's out to kill you? And they said, absolutely not. They said they lie so well, and then they went on to say, and many times they don't even know what they're going to do themselves, which it makes it more scary, but that they believe so ferociously and so dedicated to the religion that they get to this zealotry. And so you see a man praying, but just because he's praying doesn't mean he's on a jihad, but some of them are. And the very best people we have cannot differentiate ahead of time.
Bing, you mentioned that the administration refuses to acknowledge the motivation for attacks like this. Mm-hmm. Why do you believe that's the case, and what is the impact of them not acknowledging that publicly?
Well, I believe it's the case because there's this liberalism gone amok, a notion of secularism where you cannot admit that religion plays any part in anyone's life. And it finally gets to the point of, you know, that major who was yelling Allah Akbar and killing all the soldiers down in Fort Hood, and the United States Army said it was workplace violence. It's extended far beyond just the Obama administration. It's this denial that a person can be motivated by his religion. It's frightening, and therefore, if you say that, you're considered to be some sort of bigot. I mean, it's just bizarre. Now, the consequences of that is you have no way of making it legitimate to do investigations based upon religion or ethnicity. Therefore, everybody from a 90-year-old grandmother has to take her shoes off to go through the machines, et cetera, to get on an aircraft. We absolutely, resolutely refuse to look at the truth of who's trying to kill us. I mean, it's crazy.
Bing, obviously, we're winding down our presence in Afghanistan. From what you've seen, what kind of progress are we making towards handing over a stable Afghanistan, and do you have confidence that they'll be able to sustain it for any considerable length of time?
No and no. As we pull down, we are having fewer Afghan attacks upon us because we are keeping so much distance from them. And therefore, we're not helping them as much because we don't want to get killed. And the fissures in that society run so deep that regardless of what we do, as we pull out, there's going to be continued violence. Pakistan is determined that they are going to have a government that that they can tell what to do, and therefore the idea that there's going to be any kind of peace in Afghanistan simply isn't true. However, the notion that Afghans are going to be attacking the United States isn't true either. Look, if we have a problem with Afghans, just don't give them visas. I mean, we don't have to go through all this stuff of building nations to prevent somebody from coming to the United States and taking pilot lessons. So I think we went entirely too far in Afghanistan. I love our troops. I spend all our time out there. My next book is all about how brave the troops are. But I do not stand up and applaud our generals. Our generals sent us down the wrong path.
How is all this resonating with the troops that you spend all your time with?
I believe that after Vietnam, many of our troops were very skeptical of our military leaders at the top. And I think the same thing is happening now coming out of Afghanistan. We have certain generals like General Petraeus and General McChrystal that we say are huge heroes. Well, down at the platoon level, you have a different view. I believe that some of our famous generals were naive, so naive that the troops at the bottom know they are naive and that there will be a backlash inside the Marine Corps and inside the Army over the next 5 years, and we will not undertake nation building or winning hearts and minds again. All these people who say, oh, counterinsurgency was the way to go, et cetera. I was an advisor. I know that stuff from Vietnam, and the answer is they were wrong. They were just wrong about Afghanistan and Iraq. And gradually, those inside the military will assert themselves. If you're going to fight a tough guy, you have to want to go into that battle to kill him and to win. None of this stuff about saying you're out there to win the hearts and minds of people. That's not war. You go into war, you have to be determined to fight.
We're talking with Bing West. The forthcoming book is 1 Million Steps, A Marine Platoon at War. Just about a minute left in our conversation here, Bing. Much different than Vietnam, of course, is the appreciation the American people have for our men and women in uniform, but slightly different. In fact, a lot different than Vietnam is most people simply aren't paying attention to what's going on there. It hardly gets any coverage, so how did they react to all that?
The troops are fine. The troops really are. I mean, what you said, Greg, is absolutely right. The American public has been terrific toward the troops. So has the Congress of the United States. We have given fantastic care to our troops. It's just simply true. The troops know it. Our policymakers and top strategists have not been as dedicated to really being candid with themselves and to do the homework so that they end up knowing what they're doing when they go into war. So I do not hold in high respect the policymakers, both in the Bush administration and in the Obama administration, nor do I hold in high respect most of the generals, because they didn't do their homework the way they should have.
Sobering analysis, but appreciated nonetheless. Bing, we look forward to having you back soon to talk about the new book. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Bing West is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense. He is a Vietnam veteran. He has been embedded multiple times with troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. He is the author of The Wrong War, Grit, Strategy, and the Way Out of Afghanistan. His new book out next month is 1 Million Steps, A Marine Platoon at War. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.